Hey, listeners, welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. In case you haven't heard yet, all this week we're taking a break from normal programming to publish a new episode every single day, Monday to Friday, as part of a special series on the podcast, which we're calling the Tech Toolbox 2019. And this interview today marks episode number one in this special series. We're running this special series to celebrate a special occasion, the 2019 version of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox Bundle, which comes with 33 different premium coding and technology products. All this week, I'm going to be chatting with creators and coaches who have contributed their own products to this bundle. Stay tuned until the end of this interview to hear more details about the bundle itself. Now, to kick things off, I'm chatting with Jeremy Schiefling. Jeremy is the founder of Break Into Tech, a resource site for people exploring tech careers. He has landed roles at Apple, LinkedIn, and Google. In our conversation, we talk about various aspects of finding your perfect tech job fit, like the different tech careers you might not have ever heard of, how to figure out which one is right for you, how to position yourself during your job hunt, and how to overcome imposter syndrome. If you want to land a job in tech, this one's for you. Enjoy. Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Hey, great to be here, Lawrence.
So you were a guest back in season one, like the early days of the podcast, and you talked about acing your resume and writing cover letters. And I don't know if we're going to get into that too much today, but I'm really excited to have you back on because you're just like a wealth of information and I always love chatting with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, when we did our first conversation, I had no idea where this was going to go, but you're a superstar now. So it's been totally my honor to be a little bit of a part of that.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. So for the folks who may not be familiar with you and your work yet, I would love if you can tell us about your background and how you ended up becoming a tech career coach.
Cool. Yeah. So I have kind of this interesting background that hopefully is inspiring to your listeners out there, which is that I actually started out my career as a kindergarten teacher, not too far from you in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And basically had always been a huge nerd all my life, you know, the kind of kid who played around with DOS as a kid and tried to build his own computers and stuff like that. And was really excited about the tech space, but as a teacher, didn't really see any way to sort of find my way into that world. And then over the course of my career, I was actually lucky enough to get opportunities to work at Apple, LinkedIn, startups. And what I realized from that experience was like, wow, back when I was sitting there in Brooklyn thinking, I have no way into this tech world, I was dead wrong. And the unfortunate reality is tech doesn't make it easy to discover what's actually available to folks on the inside. And so if you're stuck on the outside, you can feel like there's basically no hope if you want to break in. And the reason I started breaking into tech and became a career coach is specifically to help more people make that leap, to cross the chasm from feeling locked out to feeling part of this inside movement. And so basically it's my mission in life to help more people make that transformation.
Awesome. I love that. So just to give us a sense of like the timeline real quick, how long ago was this that you were teaching kindergarten in Brooklyn and you start to then, you know, get these tech positions at awesome tech companies?
Yeah. So it was about 15 years ago, which is a crazy thing because it means that my kindergartners are now in college today. Basically, it sort of suggests that this can be a long process. It can take a lot of reflection, a lot of exploration, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. You know, I didn't really have a Sherpa when I was going on my journey, and so I took the very long detour-filled road, but I've definitely worked with clients who've made the jump in the span of a couple months or 6 months, and so there are definitely some shortcuts that folks can take along the way.
I'm sure that's very reassuring for some of the early the listeners who are just starting out to hear. I want to ask, how has working in tech impacted your life?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think there's obviously the sex appeal of tech. You know, we hear about these tech companies and all the cool stuff that they're putting out. But I think there are really two things, if you sort of put it in a Maslow's hierarchy kind of way, that really have made a big difference in my life and my family's life. I think the first at the bottom of the hierarchy, and for those who know, you know, Abraham Maslow was a psychologist who explained sort of what drives human motivation, what gets us out of bed every morning and gets us doing things. And at that base level is just sustenance, you know, putting a roof over your head and putting food on the table. And the really nice thing about the tech world is because it's a growth industry and an uncertain economy, I've always had access since I've broken into tech to lots and lots of jobs. So today, probably 5,000 jobs are posted across Silicon Valley, probably 50,000 jobs are posted across the tech industry more globally. And that just means that no matter where you are, no matter your situation, there's always another opportunity right around the corner. And that's reassuring. But I think at the very top of that pyramid, at the top of that hierarchy, is the idea of doing like really meaningful work. You know, feeling that it's not just enough to get a paycheck and to get through life, but to make something of it, to build something important. And so having a chance to work in the tech industry has meant that I've been able to work at places like LinkedIn, where we were building products, not just for a couple of kids in a classroom, but for tens of millions of students around the world to help them find great jobs and great opportunities. And so the access to that kind of really meaningful, high impact work, I think that's been one of the strongest drivers of my happiness and others in this world.
Yeah, I love that. And you mentioned a stat just like a minute ago about 50,000 tech jobs. Is that every single day being posted?
Absolutely. Because like, if you think about it, you know, these tech companies are basically growing crazy fast. I'll talk about two kinds of companies. You've got the big giants that everyone's heard of, Google, Facebook, Apple, et cetera. And they're always taking on new products and new domains. And to do that, they need to bring in fresh blood and new expertise. And so they're growing fast. But even if you're a small startup, if you raise $5 million, $10 million, the expectation from the venture capitalists who've invested in you is that you're going to spend that on growing your team, bringing in more people to grow faster. And so while there may be a dark side to all of that growth in the sense of it can be a tough work-life balance sometimes, it does mean that there's tons of opportunity exploding everywhere you look.
Yeah. Wow. That's insane. I did not hear that stat before. It does make sense. But that I feel like that's also super hopeful for people listening that there's 50,000 new jobs at all different kinds of companies being posted every single day. And I think this leads really well into what I really want to talk to you about today are the different tech career paths that are out there for people that some folks may not even realize yet. So I've shared this story before on the podcast, but when I first started learning to code, I remember doing very brief research, which was a mistake on my end. I should have definitely spent more time researching the industry. And I just came across like full stack developer. And I kept seeing it in a few articles after like, you know, 20 minutes of research. So I was like, oh, if I want to work in tech, I'm going to be a full stack developer. Okay, that's what I'm doing. And I just started like going down that path. But I later realized, and even today, I'm learning about new tech careers that I didn't even knew existed. So there's just so much out there. I would love if you could talk a bit about the different career paths.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are two ways to think about it. There's definitely the technical and non-technical halves of the tech world. So are you explicitly like building code or using data science to analyze data? Or are you more on the business side in terms of marketing a product or bringing in talent and things like that? But the other way to think about it is to actually sort of think about the natural life cycle for any new product. So take Gmail or Facebook newsfeed or anything that you use on a daily basis. You know, to make that product come into your hands, there are really three stages. So if you think about the very origins of these products, there's always going to be a team formation stage. We've got people analyzing the marketplace, trying to figure out, is there actually demand for this kind of thing? So you might have a team of business operations professionals, oftentimes former consultants or strategists, sort of analyzing the space. If they say it's a good investment, maybe you have an HR team going out there and staffing up, hiring new talent to staff up the Gmail team or the Facebook newsfeed team. And you might even have a corporate development team, which is a lot of bankers and M&A specialists going out and acquiring other smaller startups specifically to staff up this function. And so even before the first line of code is written, you've had this entire functional group working really hard to analyze and build a team to get ready for prime time. Now, the next stage is product development. And so this is sort of where that full stack experience that you talked about, Laurence, comes in, where, okay, you've got this team coming together. They're going to build something really awesome, but what are they going to build? Well, obviously, you've got the engineers and you've got the developers. You've got data scientists who are putting in all the sort of modeling beside it. But you also have lots of other folks sort of working with them cross-functionally to get this thing accomplished. So you might have a team of market and UX researchers trying to figure out what should we even be building in the first place? What do customers want? You have product managers helping those engineers and data scientists and designers get organized, have a clear vision for their team. You have project managers sort of managing the step-by-step, day-by-day stand-ups that get something from a vision in someone's mind to an actual product that people can use. And so that's the product development phase. But you're still not done. There's still this one separate piece, which is, okay, you built something amazing, but you don't want to be like Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams and build it and hope that they will come. You actually want to tell the world about it. And that's where the distribution piece comes in. So you have teams of folks in marketing and sales going out there and basically taking the megaphone and saying, hey, we've got an amazing new product. You've got customer support and customer success teams making sure that existing clients are really happy. You even have, you know, lots of traditional folks in like finance and accounting sort of measuring the impact of this work and making sure it's successful. And so really, if you think about what it takes to launch a massive product like that, it's this incredible team effort of basically all the world's talent. Whether you're an accountant, whether you're a coder, whether you're a designer, whether you're a consultant, there is room for you in this world. And you should bring those specialties and that expertise with confidence into the space.
Thanks for giving that really high level look at all the different fields and the paths and everything. And of course, you're a tech career coach. You do this all the time with people, whether it's through your products and courses or one-on-one coaching. And I know you work with students in other capacities as well. So this is a lot of information, right? We just talked about like tons of different jobs out there. How does a person know which they should do or what they should, or what even just field or area of that cycle they should look into?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know it can be totally overwhelming at first, especially because you never hear about so many of these jobs when you're sitting in your college or high school's career office. So what I would say is there's really a two-step process that I think is going to help you figure out that right fit. The first is to start internally. Do a little bit of self-reflection where you think about some of your peak experiences from across your career. And by peak, I mean times when you were so engaged in what you were doing that you're in what psychologists call a flow state. So maybe you lost track of time. All of a sudden, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, but you were still there pounding the keyboard, trying to find the right way to get your code to compile. Or you were working with a really great team and you were all energized by each other's collaborative spirit. If you can sort of figure out what those peak experiences tend to be for you and your preferred work style, you can then map them out and say, hey, was it a very interpersonal experience? Again, teamwork, leadership, collaboration. Perhaps on the other hand, it was a very analytical experience. You know, it was basically me and that spreadsheet, or me hunting down that semicolon. And that was really compelling. And if you can start to identify where you're having lots and lots of experiences like these, you can get a sense of the patterns that are going to guide your career success. And now once you know, okay, I want to be on the analytical side or the interpersonal side, you can start to match those with roles such as the ones I just described. So for example, if you're super analytical, maybe a role in the coding space or in the business analytics space might be really good for you. Whereas if you're super interpersonal, maybe sales or customer success might be more up your alley. And that's when you want to take your search outwards, where you start to talk to folks who've actually done those roles. So the beautiful thing about, you know, LinkedIn these days is you can go right into LinkedIn and say, hey, show me everyone who's a coder who went to my school, or everyone that I know who works in customer success. And now you can reach out to that person and just say, hey, for the price of a coffee, could I just learn what you do all day? And if you can start to do that Vulcan mind meld with that other person, put yourself into their shoes, viscerally respond to what they describe that they do, and notice whether your body's excited about it, whether you're leaning in, or whether you're pushing back, you can start to get a sense of, are you going to be really fulfilled in this job? And is it going to be your cup of tea?
That's such great advice. And I was actually just thinking about this last night. The point you brought up about reaching out to people who went to your high school or your college that work in that field and chatting with them. And that's something I did not do when I first started out. I was not talking to people who actually worked in the field doing those jobs. I did very little research, jumped right into courses, and found myself really frustrated because I had not taken the right approach. So I love that you teach this and help people know the steps to take so they aren't like taking the, you know, these missteps early on. But another thing that, and of course, as a podcaster, I just have to like shout this out. One thing I wish I did was just listen to podcast interviews with people who had these jobs. Like, I love podcasts so much. Whenever I want to learn something new, like whether it's personal finance or, I'm not joking, interior decorating, I went on an interior decorating podcast kick when I got a new apartment and I was just consuming that so much. There are so many podcast options out there beyond this one in all the different tech fields and all these different spaces. Anything you can think of, there's probably podcasts about it. And you can just listen to people having these conversations about that field and get a sense that way as well. I mean, that's what I love about the internet and technology is there's just so much information and all that out there, and research can be really, really important. But on that note, I feel like people could also sometimes research too much, which without, you know, taking action and kind of get into analysis paralysis. How does a person know that they've done enough research?
Yeah, that's a great point. So first of all, I totally agree with you, Laurence. I feel like the fact that now you can have that empathic bond with pretty much anyone in the world or any profession in the world through the power of the internet or through the power of podcasts, like, that's transformative. It's something that our parents couldn't have done and no previous generation of our species could ever have access to. So that's incredible. As far as not going too far on that, however, I do think that if you take a concept from the tech world and apply it to your career search, it can actually be really powerful. And that's the idea of the sprint. So the sprint says, unlike, you know, Microsoft in the 1990s, which might spend 5 years developing a new version of Windows or a new version of Office, only to discover that it sucked and no one liked it, you're only going to spend 2 weeks or 6 weeks at a time going down a certain road before you check the results to see if you're getting enough traction to keep going down that road, or maybe you start to change paths. So what I would say is, for anyone who's out there thinking about exploring any of the paths I just discussed, give yourself maybe a 2 week sprint to say, in that 2 weeks of time, I'm going to listen to the podcast that Laurence recommended. I'm going to talk to people who've done that job like Jeremy recommended. And at the end of those 2 weeks, I'm going to decide, do I go really deep on this role and start applying for it? Or do I check out another role for the next 2 weeks? And that way, kind of like Odysseus having his sailors bind him to the mast when he was sailing past, the Furies in the Odyssey, you have this commitment, this flag in the ground that will make sure that you don't sort of go too deep into the analysis paralysis you mentioned, Laurence, but instead you'll stay really focused on your goal. And if it's not the right goal for you, you move on to the next one.
Love that. That's such great advice. Just breaking it down into smaller pieces and checking in when that time period is said and done. So you cover all this and more in your Find Your Fit program, which is part of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox bundle. Thank you again for participating for the second time with this. Really excited to have you on board. I love everything that you do, as I already said. And what I thought was really interesting when I was looking at this program of yours is that you again talk about all these things, finding your fit. Obviously, it's what it's titled, but you have this really in-depth material on positioning yourself. Could you talk a bit about what positioning is?
Yeah. So positioning is kind of this fancy and silly career coaching word. That really just means marketing. But unlike marketing a product like Gmail or Coca-Cola, you're marketing the product of you. The fact that you as a candidate are someone that is being considered and checked out by the employer, the consumer of your talent. And so what I would say to you is, in the same way that all these companies, you know, hire teams of marketers and branding folks to make their products shine on the store shelves and shine on the TV, you want to do the same with your candidacy and your talents. So for example, let's say that you decide, you know, I want to go after the full stack development job that Laurence was exploring. And you're coming at it having done a little bit of work, maybe you've gone through a boot camp, maybe you built a little bit of a portfolio. The very apologetic way, and the sort of slow and losing way that I've seen candidates go after it, is to apply as if they were still an accountant and they just happen to have done some front end development, and you know, maybe they'll be taken as a pity consideration by the employer, by the recruiter. Whereas positioning means leading with confidence, saying, "Hey, I have worked hard to build up my skill set, and so I'm going to lead with that as my strength and not apologize for it." That means that on my resume, at the very top, I'm going to have a headline that says, "Laurence Bradford, full stack developer." And underneath it, I'm going to have a summary section that talks about the three coolest things I've built. Maybe I didn't build them for Google. Maybe I built them for myself. But nevertheless, they represent the very best of my abilities. And then I'm going to specifically focus on all the things that I've accomplished in the full stack development space under my experience section, as opposed to talking about the fact that I used to be an accountant. I'm going to do that on my resume. I'm going to do that on my LinkedIn. And I'm going to do that in my conversations, both with insiders and with hiring managers. And if you can start to position yourself as, hey, I'm here to add value. I'm here to solve problems for you and not just, hey, give me a chance, see what I can do. That's a powerful position to be in when you're looking to break into a new field.
Awesome advice. So I'm curious because I feel like, and I bet you have a term for this, and I just don't know what it is, but I feel like sometimes when people are transitioning into new roles, there are more comparables or more tie-ins from their previous career. So for instance, maybe someone was working in like a position that kind of used marketing and then they switched to a marketing position at a tech company, but there's a lot of past experience they could draw on. Then there's other folks who are making like a total career pivot, right? Like the accounting to full stack example, where there's like maybe not much from their past career that they can really draw in to their new one. So for people in that second category, I know, and I'm sure you talk to folks all the time who feel this way. They're like, oh man, Jeremy, that's really great advice, but I just don't think I can do that on my LinkedIn. Like, I don't feel ready. Like, I can't call myself a full stack developer. Like, I've only been learning for 2 years and dead, right? I feel like sometimes folks really kind of like, they've been learning forever and they do have a lot of skills, but they're still nervous to like take that leap. What advice do you have for someone who feels that way?
Yeah, so I think imposter syndrome is a real phenomenon. I certainly had that back when I was a kindergarten teacher. Almost all my clients, that's their number one obstacle. And I think the way that you get around it is by starting to take some of that empathy that we were talking about before when you were first discovering new roles and now shift the empathic focus to the recruiter and the hiring manager. So imagine that you're a recruiter at Google or Facebook or startup and you're looking for a full stack developer. If you see that someone is an accountant and they've been a really great accountant and they have a CPA, is that going to help you decide whether they're a good fit for this role? No, in fact, it's going to confuse them. They're going to say, why is this person here? Whereas if you actually help that person on the other side of the hiring table by giving them the language that they're looking for, in fact, that they've asked for in the job description, which is where you should mine a lot of this lingo from in the first place, you're making it easier for them to understand who you are and why you belong here. And so it's not so much an act of faith or an act of deceit, but instead an act of reaching across that chasm and building a bridge from where you've been to where you need to be and where you want to go. And so once you understand what the recruiter needs to see and what the hiring manager needs to see, make sure that you give it to them, even if it feels uncomfortable. In fact, as Reid Hoffman, you know, the founder of LinkedIn once said, if you ever ship a product that you're not embarrassed by, you waited too long to ship. Again, you're at Microsoft in the 1990s, sitting around building up something that people might not even want. So better to get out there into the market, in this case, the labor market, and test your product's viability versus sitting on the sidelines year after year, hoping that you'll be ready next year.
Yes, I love that. I always think you have to start somewhere. And whether that's with a tech job or something like starting a blog or podcasting or whatever it may be, you have to just like take that first step and you're only going to get better, right? Because the more you do something, the better you get at it. And I also like to think like with tech job hunting, even if you don't get a job, right, that's still experience that you can use, an interview experience that you can bring to the next thing and just make yourself, you know, better over time with how you approach the whole process.
Absolutely. And I would say that like for those who are out there wondering, you know, how do I make that connection that you were alluding to in your last question, Laurence, about, hey, you know, there's something about my accounting experience that might be relevant to this job. There absolutely is. But it's up to you to find that bridge, not the recruiter. The recruiter is going to spend 5 seconds looking at your resume, 3 seconds looking at your LinkedIn. They're not going to go deep enough to really get it. And so like in my example, the fact that I had been a kindergarten teacher wasn't useful at all to the recruiters at Apple who were looking for marketers. But when I explained that as a teacher, I had gotten to know all the families in my classroom. I had built out a community blog. I led to PR for my school. All these activities, which might have been somewhat peripheral in the classroom, actually were primary on my resume. They were an example of that positioning that said, hey, I belong here. I can do this job. Give me a shot.
Awesome. Love that. Is there anything else that is in your Find Your Fit course that you cover and you teach that we didn't get into today?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the one final piece beyond exploring different roles, positioning yourself for those roles, is what do you do when the imposter part of imposter syndrome is actually real? Like the thought of having a job as a full stack developer, the thought of having a job as a marketer is just totally intimidating because you don't even know how to do it. How do you make up for that gap? What I talk about at the end of the course are a couple of cool hacks that you can use to quickly build experience and a portfolio that can showcase the fact that you are ready for that job. And so if you're considering joining, you know, an expensive graduate program or something else like that, where it might take years and years of your time and hundreds of thousands of dollars, know that there are often other ways, by working with nonprofits, by working with startups, you can quickly gain the experience you need to get you ready for the big leagues.
Awesome. Thank you, as always, Jeremy, for coming on the show and sharing all this information. I just, so much knowledge has been shared. Thank you. And obviously, people can catch your product in this latest bundle, but do you have any other resources or places online that you can recommend to folks to learn more about you, especially for those who are going to be listening to this like in months or a year from now?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely check out my blog at breakinto.tech. And what I've done there is I've actually given really sort of in-depth guides for free to each of these different roles. So if you're trying to figure out what's the difference between a product manager and a project manager and a product marketing manager, like I'll take that alphabet soup of all these different jobs and really break it down into what do they do all day and whether they'd be a good fit for you.
Perfect. Thank you again for coming on.
Of course. My pleasure. Thank you, Laurence.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jeremy. I always love chatting with him. And I am so thrilled that he's taking part in our brand new Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox bundle with his course, Find Your Fit. The bundle consists of 33 premium coding and tech products from 21 expert creators. These products combined are worth $4,299. As in, if you went out and bought all of these products on your own, it would amount to this. And the coding and tech products that we have inside the bundle cover topics from web development, mobile app development, freelancing, software testing, and so much more. Here's the catch though. This deal is so good that it's only going to be available for 5 days. Tuesday, April 30th to Saturday, May 4th, 2019. And once the doors close, this bundle of products will not be available together ever again. You can find out more about this special deal over at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. Thanks for tuning into the show and look out for new episodes all this week.